You are listening to Let It Fly, and I am your host, Aaron. And you can reach me at scifidig@gmail.com if you have any comments, questions, etc. I'm slowly getting the kinks out of this mobile recording thing here. The one thing that I discovered today is I cannot wear a coat when I do this because it bangs against the mic. And every time I record, I never think that the audio quality is good enough. And then when I play it back, it sounds way better than when I'm trying to preview it as I record. You can actually monitor the audio with that when you use the headphones with this this app. The app is Boss Jack Studio, and it's pretty decent. Anyway, this week I want to talk to you about a movie that I recently watched and I really enjoyed, something very original. And of course, you know, in my fashion, discuss something completely unrelated to geek culture. Slowly, finally finished my my cope and drag for doing sand molding. And you know, you can follow all the progress of this on Instagram. I periodically post photos of what I'm doing. I'm always doing something, always destroying something, or destroying. I mean, discovering. I mean, investigating. That's what I mean, investigating something. And we had a stretch of one or two nice days that were, say, above 35. So that gave me, I don't have a heated garage, so I have to wait till some of the nicer days to do some stuff out there. Otherwise, I start freezing to death. But I was able to get them all put together, and I'm very happy with how it all came together. Although I did cut my hand on, you got to put two metal, I just use angle iron on either side because you have to clamp the cope and drag down, because when you pour hot metal in there, it expands and they'll rise apart. So I had the thing all, I had everything constructed the way I wanted to, but I had to find, I couldn't find a piece of metal. And I like to look around and see what kind of crap I have laying around that I can use for such a thing. And since I just basically needed something to screw to the side so that I can clamp it, I found a piece of angle iron, cut that up into four pieces and put it on there. But when I cut it, I was like, I'll grind down the edges so they're not sharp later on. And so I put it all, I finished putting it together yesterday and took it outside. I put a coat of paint. You put a coat of paint around where it goes together. That way when you have to separate the sand, it comes apart cleaner. And I thought, well, I'll just hit it with a coat of paint real quick. It's not going to hurt. And in the process, managed to find the one sharp edge left on an angle iron and cut my hand. But I ground it all down today, so it's all ready to go. Now I'm just waiting for like a 3 or 4 hour stretch where I can do another melt. And then we're going to try the sand out and see how it works. I think I have the sand right. Not positive. Feeling okay. I feel about 80% about it, you know. But the only way to figure it out is if you try it and see if you fail or not. Anyway, not what I wanted to talk about today. I wanted to talk about a movie that I had heard about. And so I wanted to investigate because it sounded like something that was up my alley, and that is The Babadook, which is an Australian film. I believe the date on it is 2014. You can stream it on Amazon. I think that the rental fee is like $7. There are a couple other outlets to find it, a couple other online places. DVD not available yet. I don't know if this is a movie that you'll want to watch more than one time, but it is a movie that you should probably rent. It's not the kind of horror movie, the jump in and spook you and run away and, you know, you want to watch it again later on or whatever. It is a very, it reminds me, you know, the theme and the style of the movie remind me a lot of The Devil's Backbone, which is another great film that I cannot recommend enough, where the horror element is there and it's, you know, it's a supernatural element, but it is not the main part of the story. It only becomes so prevalent because of the situation that the characters are in. This movie clearly was made, I didn't think about it until after the fact. But the production value is no way looks cheap. But it was, when you think about it, the movie doesn't really have a lot of expense, because you just have the actors, you have the home that they live in, and a couple of external locations, but nothing major. And the basic premise here is that a woman a husband and wife are going to the hospital to deliver their child, and they get in an auto accident, and the husband dies. You learn this in the first, like, 10 seconds of the movie. And so, you know, setting up the situation where you have a single mom and her young son, who I believe is 7 years old. And they seem to have a pretty good relationship. Obviously, the mother is looking run down, you know, because she's working and then having to take care of her son and never really getting enough sleep because the kid sees monsters under the bed, you know, and that sort of thing. That is like a minor point. The monster thing isn't something that they hammer home, but what happens is they find a book called The Babadook, and the book talks about, you know, about the Babadook and how, you know, the more you deny, the stronger he gets, and then once you see him, you can't unsee him, and et cetera, et cetera. And the boy apparently is seeing him, and, you know, we don't really see him, and basically we don't see him in the beginning. And, you know, the story unfolds as to what happens and you know, how this came to be and things like that. But the core of the story is her dealing with this. So it's an uncomfortable movie, I found, that you're kind of you're kind of stressed out watching it because you feel for this woman who's trying so hard to, you know, be a mother and have a job and do everything that needs to be done with her son, making sure he has all that he needs. And then he's going... Aside from the fact that he doesn't have a father and he knows he's different because of that, and a lot of, his friends, you know, the few friends that he has, you know, have fathers, some of them make fun of them. Her sister, the mother's sister, is a little more well off. She's not very kind in a lot of ways. You know, obviously, it's obvious that her kid is spoiled rotten. So the kids kind of clash. You know, all this. Is a movie unto itself, let alone the fact that, you know, you have this supernatural element that pops up later on. So you have this woman who's dealing with all this, and then this kid keeps claiming to see this Babadook, and that makes her even more stressed because she doesn't think that it's real, and it's really affected this kid's life. You know, he's making weapons. That, you know, in order to battle this thing, you know, he feels needs to protect himself and his mother, you know, and she's seeing all this behavior and cannot understand it. And in the meantime, she cannot get enough sleep because he's up half the night and then she has to work. And so she has all this stress and we're seeing all this stress on her. And one of the things I really enjoyed about this is, man, the makeup department earned their money on this film because the way that they stress, they make her look stressed. I mean, she's a very attractive woman, but when they zoom in during these stressful times and we see, you know, the wrinkles and the lines in her face and the stress lines under her eyes and the way they do the bags under her eyes and everything, did a really good job of making this look good. But I really enjoyed the film because... one, it was refreshing. It was a different kind of horror film. I was very surprised when I was trying to pull up the IMDb page that there were a few 1-star reviews. People that obviously didn't understand that they thought that this was going to be like a Candyman or, you know, something of that nature, a supernatural kind of thing that pops up and is just slashing everybody and there's blood everywhere. It is not. It's very, very low key. It is very much a drama with a supernatural element to it. And the majority of the drama, at least for the first probably, the movie's about an hour and a half, at least for the first 45 minutes and then some, the drama is all about the mother and a child and her dealing with what he's going through. And in a couple occasions, she lashes out verbally and then immediately regrets it. And his reaction to that, because she is all that he has in her life. And, you know, she's cracking under the stress of lack of sleep and things like that. And it could just be a normal drama about a single mother struggling with a troubled child. But you have the supernatural element that pops up and then, you know, slowly worms its way in. Now, I don't want to give away any spoilers or the ending, but I love, absolutely loved the ending, the way they ended this, and I can see how some people might not like it, but most like supernatural type films, and it would not surprise me, the Babadook character is just too good to let lie. There's probably going to be a sequel that will be much more, it wouldn't surprise me if it was much more like the supernatural Candyman slasher type thing, because the character is just too good not to do that with. And, you know, of course, it'll probably be a lot of fun and probably have a few good scares, but it's not going to have the heart of this film. And of course, that's just me guessing. But the ending is very, very not final, but it seems kind of final. It's a solution. Excuse me. It's a solution to what's going on, and I did not expect it. And so when I saw, not that it's like a big, like in your face kind of thing, it's just a really cool way to end this movie. And maybe at some point in time, somebody else will have a, will see this and want to have a discussion, because I'd love to discuss the ending of this and what people thought. I mean, not that it's a long discussion, but it's just something that's really fun. But I don't want to give any spoilers, especially for a film that is just this new. And so there's that. One final thing, this doesn't get mentioned very often in a lot of comic podcasts, and I'm one of the people that, when Comixology stopped offering purchasing directly through the app on the iPad, a lot of people said that they stopped buying less digital comics. I'm probably one of the few people that bought more digital comics. What happens is that I'm reading a story or something, and then I go to buy the next issue, or I see there's a comic out there I want, and I immediately open a Comixology app because I'm kind of used to doing that. It's like learned behavior. Realize I can't buy through that. And since I got to tap out and go to a browser window anyway, I end up looking for the book somewhere else. So Comixology actually gets less of my money than they otherwise would. Now, I like Comixology, don't get me wrong, but my thing is that once I have to leave the app, then there's no reason for me to go to your site if I can go somewhere else. I enjoy the panel by panel, but there's a million ways to get comics now, legit and pay for them and make sure the creators get the money and all that stuff. And I have no problem doing that. Love the panel by panel, but not to be all end all. I have plenty of comic book reading apps on my iPad that I love. But there's a lot, I try to keep my eye on sales. I mean, I'm the kind of guy that I don't subscribe to a certain book. I'm not going to pay $3.99 for a digital Marvel book. We can debate that till the end of time, digital prices and all that stuff, but I'm not going to do that. And I know people, are like, oh, well, the creator's going to get paid. Well, yeah, but they told me the price of paper was going up, and that's why I had to pay more money. I can show you the books where that said that. And the price of paper hasn't gone up because, well, there's no paper in digital, so what's your excuse now? Anyway, I try to buy bundles. I try to buy things on sale. And then I have them sitting around, and when I want to read something different, I can just jump back and forth. Well, Humble Bundle is one of those things that I didn't realize how few people knew about it. They have a books thing, like I think it's like every 10 days or so, or maybe it's every 2 weeks. They usually have a books bundle where it goes toward charity, and you can buy books. And it's not always comic books. There's other things. They had a Dynamite sale. Then they had a Doctor Who audiobook sale. And the recent sale was the Image sale, which I believe is still going on. If you don't have Humble Bundle bookmarked, you should do that because there's some good stuff on there. And it all went to the donations went to the Hero Initiative. And it is like dirt cheap for basically $20. You can donate whatever you want, but different things unlock at different stages. So I think that like once somebody sets the average, if you donate the average, you get a bunch of books. And if you donate above the average, it tells you what that price point is. It unlocks even more books. But for the number of books that you got, at 25, 30, 35 bucks, you're getting a deal. I mean, you're paying about a dollar a book, or you're paying less than a dollar a book. Of course, one of the things was the first 48 issues of The Walking Dead, the compendium. And there's a couple of other, there's a lot of different books, but I love bundles like this because for the amount of money I pay and then the books I get to try a bunch of stuff that I might not otherwise normally get. Usually you pick out one or two things, you're like, okay, this is what I want to read, and this is what I'm going after. Everything else is kind of a bonus on top of that. But during that time, you know, or after you get all that stuff, you're going to like, you start looking through these other books and you find other great things. And I know I'm kind of behind the times on a lot of the image books. There's just so much to read and not enough time to do it all. And so what happens is that, you know, all these different companies release a free digital book or a cheap bundle or a cheap first issue. And I pick it up and I really enjoy it. And just, it ends up being like months before I go back and read it. And I try to be better about that. I mean, with the in-app purchase in Comixology, a lot of times I'd read something and I would just click and just buy the next one. But since I now have to back out of that, I rethink it. And I might find it somewhere else, or I might just read something else because there's just a lot of different books there. With digital books, I think we as a group kind of tend to read an entire arc and then move on, as opposed to if you're a floppy issue buyer, you end up... You go to the comic shop whatever day you go, whether it's Wednesday or Friday or whatever, and you get your books and you come home and you read them and you're reading that one part of that story. Then the next week or the next month you get the other part. Sometimes I like to break it up like that. But there was a lot of good issues. There was Cal. There was Walking Dead. There was Saga. There was Nailbiter, which I will probably be talking about in this podcast in the future because. Man, I read the first issue of Nailbiter, and I could not be more hooked. And I know I'm late to the party on that. I know it's been a while since it first started coming out. I think they're on issue 9 or 10 at this point. But, man, I really enjoyed that. And I find myself sometimes buying these bundles, and every now and then they throw a couple of first issues in there, and that's all you're getting. You're not getting a story because maybe it's not all available yet. And then you read that first issue, then you end up being hooked, and you end up going back. And some of the apps have wish lists you can throw stuff in and go back later on and view if you need to. Anyway, humblebundle.com is where it's at. They also have a games bundle, and it seems as though there's a mobile bundle in the works where you would purchase a bunch of mobile apps for one price. I mean, we've seen different things like this before. Mac Heist does this a lot with programs, things like that. But for Soul Entertainment, Humble Bundle does it. Now, some people that I mentioned this to were saying that because once you go and you subscribe to Humble Bundle, which they send you an email about updates and stuff like that, every day you can go there and download one issue of a comic, a different one every day during the bundle sale, and it's a PDF. And some people didn't want PDFs or whatever. Well, once you make your purchase, you don't have to download PDFs. There are CBZ files you can download, which is my preferred way of reading it because my favorite reader reads CBZ. But what I normally do is and the link is always there. Like once you have the account, you go back and, you know, so you can download something now and then go back later on and download something else. It's kind of like your Comixology. I know a lot of people worry that you buy it, you download, and then what if you lose those files? Can you get it again? Yes, you can go back and you can get it again. You can choose. There's like five different formats you can choose to download. I think one of them is even an EPUB, so you can read on your Kindle or your other reading device if you want to do that. There are a lot of different ways to download it. I usually try to download as much as I can and then read it, and then I just delete it. I delete it off the hard drive as I go, and it's always there if I need to go back to it. Or if you have one of the many various cloud drives out there, you can always throw it up in your cloud drive and have it up there. I mean, there's so many different ones that, you know, you try to share the link with as many people as possible and try to up your free space as much as possible. At this point, I have roughly probably 150 gigs through the various drives that's available to me, and that's kind of without even trying. So there's all that available as well. And a lot of the PDF readers and comic book readers on the different tablets, you can access that drive and then just download from the cloud wherever you're at, assuming you have connectivity to that. But anyway, I wanted to mention that because a lot of people have been mentioning Humble Bundle. It's really hard to say quickly. Highly recommend it. Go check it out. Subscribe to it, if nothing else. I drug my feet about the Doctor Who audiobooks, and I did not purchase them, and I'm kind of regretting that. They also have, in the past, I believe that they've had just digital regular books as well, and the game stuff, I mean, it's always a good deal for the game stuff, but with so limited time, I don't play a whole lot of games. Usually I get zoned in on one, and that's the only game I play until I finish it. And sometimes that will take me 6-7 months. There's that. But HumbleBundle.com and The Babadook, my two recommendations for this week for what it's worth. And as always, feedback is appreciated. SciFiDig@gmail.com is where you can find me. SciFiDig.com is where you can find the website for SciFiDig and a whole bunch of contact information. I believe there's also a comment line there. Nobody used a comment line in like 6 years. So, as a matter of fact, I was surprised the other day when I was checking things out and I called it and realized that I had my very young daughter at the time record the outgoing message for that. And I was like, wow, you were really young when you recorded that. Because her voice is completely different now. So now I can never delete that to save it forever. But anyway, also you can find me on all the various social networks, etc. Feel free to follow me on Instagram. I cannot remember my Instagram name. I think it's Sci-Fi Dog. I could be wrong. But I have all the, if you're interested in any of the Foundry stuff, interested in anything, hey, shoot me an email. We'll chat. We'll talk. We'll do whatever. Want to know what happens when you cut a bowling ball in half? I'm the guy. I did it because I had to know what was inside of it. Okay. In my defense, the bowling ball was already cracked. Okay. And I was like, what am I going to do with this? Well, I'm going to cut it in half and then take half of that and make it into a clock because I can. People laughed, but they all wanted to know what was inside of it. Just saying. Anyway, I'm out.